This week, we always say that Mission Conference is the highlight of our year because we were founded as a missions-minded church. We continue that, and it's important for us. Really, it's important for us as Christians always to do this with every aspect of our faith. But we have to pass on to the next generation the love for our love for missions. It's really God's love for souls, right? But how we do missions and the priority of it, if we don't actively pass it down and repeat it, then it's bound to be lost. People won't understand. They won't appreciate it. That's why I was so appreciative that Brother Ard and Brother Gardner down in Sunday school, the Gardner's down there now, in junior church, teaching our young people the priority of missions. And that's what we've been focusing on all week. And those of you who haven't been able to join us, I'm so glad that you're here. You're going to be able to see what we're doing. You're going to hear about it. First, what I want to do is take a moment to introduce some of our missionaries. And the first one that you're not going to be able to meet because they're down teaching the kids in junior church are John and Paula Gardner. That John Gardner is with Amazing Grace Missions. You may be very familiar with Amazing Grace. They have the three-door unit, and we do it at Pig on the Pond. Well, Brother Gardner shared with us his burden for his ministry this week, and we were so happy to hear from him and be able to fellowship with he and Paula. Our next missionary is Peter Ard, who, if you would stand, Brother Ard. Jean, his wife, was not able to be with us for health reasons, but Brother Ard is with IBJM, the International Board of Jewish Missions. He is the South American director, and we were so happy to hear from him and pleased that he was able to teach in our children's Sunday school this morning. So thank you, Brother Ard, for being with us. Next, we have Jeffrey and Kara Farringer. And these are missionaries to Chile. If you guys could stand, their amazing children are down in the junior church, so we're not going to see them, but I think most of you have met them. The Farringers are with Baptist Missions to Forgotten Peoples, and they are just starting their deputation. Pastor Jeff told us this morning, you put 5,000 miles already on the van, and they're headed this week to New York. So you pray for them as they begin their deputation for their mission in Chile. And last but not least, we have Pat and June Creed with BIMI. Dr. Creed is the director of the Caribbean director, and they're with us. They've been with us before, and they've been always a huge blessing to our church. So we're happy to have the Creeds back this year. And Dr. Creed is going to come now, and he's going to preach to us this morning.
Thank you, Pastor Farley. It has been a real joy. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to have the ushers come real quick. If you fellas would come and grab the commitment cards and just make sure everyone has a copy of the commitment card in hand. We will be receiving these at the end of the service, so just hold on to them. I know you've been praying about this and seeking God's direction. But while they're doing that, I would like to thank you. I was just checking up. June and I came to Open Door Baptist Church the first time in 1995. That was 28 years ago. I was 55 years old. I can't remember being 55 years old. The aches and pains of 83 have robbed me of my memory of 55. How many of you can relate to that? Right? But we have enjoyed our relationship with Open Door over these years, and we're so excited. Not when Brother Stewart let us know he was resigning, but that Pastor Farley would be replacing him. And I know that's been a blessing to you, to just know that things are going to go right on the way they have been. And we have certainly enjoyed being here again many times over the years, but just so many friendships that we have been able to create and culminate over the years here, and then to meet some new folks and some new friendships. And so we appreciate all that you've done to make our visit a very comfortable and enjoyable one, letting us stay in the Hilton down below. I'll tell you, that is an enjoyable place to retire to at night and spend the day in. That we appreciate all that was put in there to meet our needs. And then I have to mention that men's prayer meeting yesterday morning. Not necessarily the prayer meeting, but the breakfast. Goodness gracious. I am still holding on to that breakfast from yesterday morning. That was great. Now, I am a biscuits and gravy fella. And yesterday morning, I didn't just have biscuits and gravy. I had eggs, potatoes, biscuits, all under gravy. And enjoyed every bit of it. I don't know who all was involved in preparing that, but it was a blessing to me. And I know I watched some other guys, and it was a blessing to them, too. We had a great time. So we just want to thank you for another wonderful visit to Open Door and your friendship to us over the years. Just the spirit. You're so easy to preach to. That's a testimony of your love for the Word of God and just that desire to hear the Bible preached. We have talked about missions this week. If you were here in the services Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday night, we talked about partnering with missionaries. That's what today is. Today is the time of partnering. But Friday night, we mentioned how God prepared Israel for the building of the tabernacle and brought them to that place that they were challenged to give toward that. And today is sort of that time here. God has supplied to you what he wants and through Open Door Baptist Church over this coming year in this matter of missions, partnering with missionaries and holding the ropes for families that have gone around the world to represent you in planting churches and reaching people with the gospel. And that's what today's all about. I'm thinking about today and what an important day it is at Open Door. Just imagine the majority of what's going to be done for missions this coming year through Open Door Baptist Church is a result of what's done today. Amen. Commitments that are made today. That makes today an extremely important day in this matter of fulfilling the command that has been given to this church to go into all the world, preach the gospel around the world. Now, I would like to ask you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And, of course, this is the place where we are challenged in this matter of faith, promise, giving. And that's what you use. That's what you've chosen as a church to use over the years to support your missions program. This is different than any other giving. Different in a lot of ways, but one way it's different is you don't give to Open Door Baptist Church, you just give through Open Door Baptist Church. What you commit to give today over this coming year to missions does not stay in your church. It just passes through and reaches around the world supporting the missionaries. But in this section of Scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the Apostle Paul, as he writes this letter to this church at Corinth, he is reminding them of a commitment they made. We have that commitment given to us back in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, but the church at Corinth had made a commitment to give an offering to the needy saints of Jerusalem. Paul had shared this need with a number of churches in Galatia and Macedonia, and the church at Corinth had made a commitment. And now, about a year later, Paul is sending Titus and some others to this church to receive the commitment that they had made. And in preparation for that, Paul instructs them in this section, chapters 8 and 9, instructs them of what they ought to prepare for, how they ought to remember what they committed and fulfill that commitment, and he just shows them how they ought to do that. As he does this, he gives us some wonderful information about how we can be used in giving in the way that he talks about here. So let's pray, and we'll just sort of start and just work our way through this as much as we can as we have time this morning. Father, we thank you again today for your wonderful presence in our lives personally. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you for Christ. Thank you that most sitting here this morning can remember the day that we received Christ as Savior and how you changed our lives. And we're thankful for that. That's why we can say today that we love you. And we thank you for the way you've guided us. All of us can remember times that you reached down and touched our lives about serving and giving and going and doing. And how, when we made commitments, you became active in performing in us, through us, and reminding us, showing us that it's all of you. And we appreciate that experience. So we ask again today that you would fresh and anew help us to hear from you and experience your presence in a wonderful way. If there's someone here today without Christ, without a complete assurance that they would go to heaven if they died today, I pray that you would reveal your salvation in a personal way and draw them to an awareness of their need for Christ and place within them a desire to receive Christ as Savior. Bless today, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. As Paul begins to share with the church at Corinth what they ought to be doing in giving now, he starts by using the churches of Macedonia as an example, as we use examples to sort of illustrate what we need to be doing. And back in verse 1 of chapter 8, the Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." That little word "wit" there has the thought of to make known, to give understanding. And Paul's simply saying to the church at Corinth here, I want you folks to realize what took place in Macedonia, how they learned to give. Let me turn this. Do I have this mic on yet? Okay. I have been do that this week. So he's saying, I want you to understand what has taken place in those churches over in Macedonia. You remember the Macedonian churches, Acts chapter 9, where Paul had heard that Macedonian call and went into Macedonia. Churches were started in Philippi and Thessalonica and Berea and other places. And he's talking about those churches as he opens up this dialogue with the church at Corinth. And he says an interesting thing. He says about this that they learned to the grace of God. The grace of God was bestowed upon them. And he's talking about the fact that they experienced giving by the grace of God. Now, that makes it giving different from any other. When he talks about this being a giving by the grace of God, he's talking about a work that God does completely. We are saved by grace. We have a relationship with God and growing in faith by grace. We are called to ministry by grace to serve. God works in our lives by His grace. That simply means this. At His appointed time, He reaches down and touches our hearts and reveals to us what He wants to do in our lives at that time. That's how His grace works. And once He does that, He would like us to agree with Him about it. That's what faith is all about. A faith, when it talks about believing faith, it's talking about just simply agreeing with God. Well, we heard a great explanation of that this morning, didn't we? In the Bible study time. That was tremendous. But that's what he's talking about here. Now, think about giving by grace. It's different than any other giving. You don't have to pray about tithing. It's already explained in the Bible. You just surrender to it. You just tithe because that's what God demands of us. He wants us to begin our giving by giving a tithe, 10%, and of course He will work in increasing that over time, but you don't have to pray about it. Just do what the Bible says. But grace giving is different because when God reaches down, we need to ask God, God, You show me what You want me to give. You show me what You want me to do in this matter of missions. And at His appointed time, He will reach down and say, this is what I want you to do. And when He does, He just simply wants us to agree to do it. And then He begins to supply that giving as we walk with Him. So He shares with the churches of Macedonia. Now, in the next couple of verses, he says something that sort of describes how this works. Notice in verse 2, he says, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy, talking about the churches of Macedonia, and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. A trial of affliction. Deep poverty. What he's saying is, these churches in Macedonia, they were going through all kinds of difficulty and they didn't have much at all. Yet, they gave by grace. They learned to give as God directed them. They stepped out. The word affliction there, how that in a great trial of affliction. What is a trial for? A trial is something that takes place to bring out truth about a situation. And here, this trial to bring the truth out about this church, these churches and where they were with God, was a trial of affliction. That word affliction has the thought of pressure, difficulty. And that pressure revealed truth. They say, you go through a time of pressure, it will make you what you need to be. But that's not true. It'll not make us what we need to be unless we agree with it and let God take us through that the way He wants.
But one thing a trial of affliction will do, a pressure will do, it will reveal what we are. Pressure always reveals the truth about us, because we become what we are in a time of pressure. And what they did, they trusted God in this time of pressure. And that's what this grace thing is all about. It's a time when God reaches down and says, this is what I want to do in your life. And our response to that reveals where we are in our relationship with God. And then he goes on, he says a number of things here. We'll not have time to dwell on this, but verse 3 says, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power. That's what grace does. Grace takes us beyond our ability. It takes us to experience God's ability. God's ability in us. Anyone that has ever been involved in giving to Faith Promise will give testimony. When I made that commitment, I stepped out, but I saw God do something. That's what Faith Promise does. And that's what it's talking about. It was beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying with us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. That word gift is the same word as grace in this portion of Scripture. But they were saying, it sort of seems like Paul was hesitant to receive what the churches of Macedonia wanted to do. You know, I'm sure the human part of him was looking at him and saying, wait a minute, now, you sure you can afford to do this? They were in deep poverty. Have you ever seen someone give and you thought, well, they shouldn't be giving. That person over there really has a lot. They ought to be giving. And you were sort of hesitant. It seems like they went beyond what Paul expected. It says in verse 5, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God. Now he sort of finishes there talking about the churches of Macedonia. And he says to the church at Corinth here, look at this. He says, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you, what? The same grace also. Now he's talking about sending Titus and these others over there to receive the commitment they had made, and he says to them when he comes, we want these men to see the same grace that those Macedonian churches experienced. We want them to see that grace in you. We want to be able to say about, hey, the church at Corinth, they learned to give by the grace of God. They learned this grace-giving thing. And then in verse 7, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, in other words, as you grow in your Christian life and love to others, look at what he says. See that ye abound in what? This grace also. You experience this grace, you live this grace, you walk with God by His grace. And so this is a grace thing. We say faith promise giving. It is grace giving by faith. And he just constantly touches on the matter of grace. Verse 8, I speak not by commandment. I'm not trying to tell you what to do, he says. But by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. That's what grace does. Grace proves the sincerity of our love. That word proof has the thought of to test. When God reaches down and speaks to our heart about what He wants us to do, it's a test time. And the test is, are you going to trust God or are you going to question God and His ability Are you going to agree with God, or are you going to disagree with God in this faith thing? And he says, to prove your love, your sincerity, your genuineness, your legitimacy in your love. And here's the verse that brings it all together. Here's why Paul could say what he said. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. So here's why Paul said, now here's what I base what I'm saying on. Think of Christ. He left everything to come to nothing so you and I who had nothing could have everything. And he's the example. He's the supreme example. We can use all of these other examples of Macedonian churches and the other people that give and people of the past and even what he's done in our lives, but he is the supreme example. He is the one that gives us the example of true grace, what he did. Now, I say all of that because I want to come to the next three verses and show us, in these next three verses, he reveals to us, as he speaks to these Corinthians, how he wants us to see our position and how he wants us to question where we are to make sure we're where God wants us to be. Notice these verses. Verse 10, he says, and herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do but also to be forward a year ago. Your promise a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Now he gives us three thoughts in these verses that we need to hold on to for our personal lives and base our decisions on. And the first one is this. First, we must have a willing mind. We talked about this Friday night. But he emphasizes that here. Notice verse 11. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will. Verse 12, for if there be first a willing mind. That simply says this. What do you think about it? What do you think about this matter of missions? Today, as you sit here, as we sit here, what's on our mind? How do we consider this? Now, we see it in the Word of God. We know what the Bible says. We know that he's given us the command to go into all the world. We know he's given us the example of how he works through his church to accomplish this. And when we're talking about his church, we're talking about individuals that sit here. You are the church here at Open Door, and how he works through a congregation to make this happen. We saw it in Philippians, how we partner with missionaries. It's very clear. And then we come to this, how he wants us to give according to his direction, his will. It's very clear in the Bible how God has his plan set step by step. But what do I think about it? What is my mind about it? And he wants us to change our mind from our natural thinking, from our selfish thinking, our greedy thinking, our all me thinking, to agree with God and His Word. And so he says it begins with a willing mind. First of all, there is a ready mind that we saw there in verse 11. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will. He said, you were ready. You were ready to make this decision. You made this decision based upon what you heard. You heard about the need of those saints in Jerusalem. You heard the situation, and there was a readiness for you to do. What's on your mind now? And then so it begins, and then there's a readiness to will in verse 12. But if there be first a willing mind, a readiness to will. So it's coming to a place that our will lines up with God's will. It's not what I desire, it's what He desires. Is my mind convinced by the Word of God that this is what I need to do? Or am I going to do what I can figure out to do, what I see logical to do? We must have a willing mind. Years ago, we had a missionary that started a church in Grand Cayman. There are three islands in that Cayman group. Grand Cayman, they call it, and Little Cayman, and then Cayman Brac. Grand Cayman is the large island, about 65,000 people at that time. And this couple went down, started this church, and after a number of years, the wife had some physical problems, and they had to leave the field. They had to leave the church and come back to the States because she was it was a very difficult situation. And we had a missionary coming off the field in Africa at the time, Sahara, and so we asked him if he would go down and cover in that church, Calvary Baptist Church in Grand Cayman. And so he went down, he and his wife went down, and they started pastoring that church in Grand Cayman. And he called me and asked me if I would come down and preach a missions conference. So I said, okay, I agreed and went down. And the previous year, their missions program, they had about $8,000 a year coming in. They supported eight missionaries. And we went down and had a missions conference, and boy, it just turned into a revival meeting. I mean, it was something special. And the people just responded to God's Word on this matter of getting the gospel to the world. And after everything was taken, the commitment ended up being $52,000 a year. From $8,000 to $52,000. They just responded to the Word of God. The missionary told me, he said, you've got to send me some missionaries. Of course, their missionaries are not coming through there like they're coming through here. He said, tell them to send me some names and send me some presentations, and we need to take on a bunch of missionaries. Well, I didn't have any problem finding some missionaries who were ready. But after the conference was over, we were sitting talking, just sort of amazed at what God had done. And he was talking about different people. And he said, he mentioned this one lady. He said, did you see the lady that was sitting? And he told me where she was sitting with her two teenagers, and said, did you notice that? I said, oh, yes, I noticed. They seemed like they were there every service, and seemed like a great, great family, her and those two, boy and a girl. And he said, let me tell you about her. He said, years ago, when those two children were just small, her husband walked off and left her. Said she had not worked outside the home and they didn't have anything, and said she was just left destitute. And she just started scraping and taking odd jobs and trying to keep things together. She stayed faithful in church over the years. Said she started cleaning the building of a real estate office. And after a while, she started working in the real estate office, just doing different things in the books and all. And then she studied and got her license, and now she's a real estate agent. He said her faith promise for this conference was $1,000 a month. She had a willing mind. She listened to what God said. And that's what God wants. God just wants somebody who will not look at their situation and complain about it and revel in it. He just wants somebody that'll put their eyes on Him and believe His word. Somebody who will just have a willing mind. God, I'm willing to listen to You. Well, the second thing he gives us here is the importance of performing it. Once we have a willing mind, then perform what the doing of it is. Look at what he says in verse 11. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it. Perform the doing of it. To fulfill completely, it says. To execute. That word actually has the thought of to finish. God has changed your mind. You agree with His word. You've made your commitment. Now finish what God has instructed you to do. What He has put in your heart. Just perform the doing of it. There's a beginning of this thing, and then there's a journey that takes place. And they had a beginning. They had made their commitment, and now they're getting ready to start the journey. And he just simply tells them, you get going on this journey, and then you complete, you finish this journey. You heard me talking this week about how June and I started giving the faith promise back in 1967, made that $5 a week commitment. I mean, it was a major decision. We didn't have it. But God has done some amazing things over the years. And there was a time when we questioned, can we do this? Should we do this? And then there comes a time when you don't even question. You say, there's no way I can't do this. Right? Many of you are there. And you come to a day like today, and it's not a matter of should I, it's a matter of I can't stop. I must do what God wants me to do. I must perform what He wants. That's the important thing. Years ago, we had a fellow come to our church when I first started pastoring. Now, this was in 1972, long time ago. And I'd just been pastoring a few months, and he came to the church and with his family and sat there for a few weeks. And then he finally came to me and said, I think this is where I want my family. We're going to join the church. And they became a part of the church. And then we had our first missions conference. And in that missions conference, God got a hold of his heart about missions. I mean, he got a hold of his heart. He came to me after that conference and he said, man, he said, I've got to do something in missions. I've got to do something for missions. I need to support missions. He said, what he did... he hung storm windows for Sears. You remember when it used to just be Sears? And they did everything. Storm windows, built decks, remodeled kitchens, put up fences. They really didn't do any of that. They just got the job, had subs that did the job, and they just took some money as a pass-through. He hung storm windows. And he said, I've got to do something. So we prayed about it. He came back later. He said, you know what I think God wants me to do? He said, I think I need to start my own business and find me a supplier of windows and hang my own windows and build a business based upon what God wants me to do. And we prayed, and he found him a supplier of windows, and he got into business. Boy, he started hanging them. And God just blessed that business. And he got jobs. He had a secretary girl working church, or was a member of the church. And he would tell her, he said, now don't schedule anything when there's something at church, no matter what it is. Don't schedule any places where I need to go and give estimates or anything. Don't schedule anything. He built it on the Lord and didn't let anything interfere with church and him serving the Lord. And he started tithing. He personally tithed. He tithed off his business. He gave to the bus ministry. He gave to the building fund. And there came a time in that man's life when he personally, now think about this, he personally supported 30 missionaries through Independent Baptist Church. Why? Because God told him what he wanted to do, and he just let God perform it. He just let God do it. And that's what God wants to do. God doesn't need your money. He doesn't need my money. Huh? We ought to know that. He needs our heart. And he needs us, think about this, he needs us to make a commitment and dedicate to perform that commitment so he can prove himself to us. So he can prove who he really is, and that he will really meet every need, that he will fulfill what he says he'll do. Amen? Many of you here, you've experienced that, and we know that, but we need to be reminded, don't we? We need to be reminded, because sometimes we just question, should I? Can I? And then thirdly, he says, do it out of what I've given you. Simple as that. Now, if we get a hold of that, do it out of what I've given you. This faith thing is not stepping out of what God's not doing. Do it out of what God has given you, where he has put you, what he's doing in your life. Notice what he says, verse 11 again. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. I've already given it to you. I've already put it there. Verse 12. For if there be first a willing mind, is it accepted according to that a man, what? Hath. And not according to that he hath not. Don't worry about what you don't have. God doesn't want what you don't have, because he hasn't given it to you yet if you don't have it. Unless you have misused what he gave you, and you don't have because you have abused what he gave you. But give out of what you have. Just look at what God has given you. And the thought there is that God has supplies. God has given us And we saw with Moses and the children of Israel there in Exodus 35 and 36 that he didn't want all they had. He just wanted what he wanted them to give at that moment, what he needed them to give to get a hold of their hearts, their emotions, their willingness. And that's what he wants with you and me. Hey, we are blessed, aren't we? We have so much. Let them tell you about Haiti and what those people have. I visited so many of those islands and seen so many situations there that comes to mind constantly as I sat at that breakfast yesterday. I mean, that would have been banquet time for so many people around the world. We have so much. We have so much that we just get what we want and not what we need. You wanna see what you have, all that you have, go home and look in your garage where you used to be able to park your car. Huh? All that stuff we have. Maybe you can still get your car in, but you have to squeeze out the door when you get it open. We have to have. We have to have that thing. You know, you go down to Lowe's or Home Depot, and you walk up the aisle, you know, and they don't have... The aisles are not to walk in anymore. They're to put the stuff in. They want you to buy it. You walk up that aisle, and there it is, that thing. Goodness gracious, look at that. I got to have that. If I had that, I could do this, and I could do that. So you got it. You've had it about a year. One of these days you're going to take it out of the box. But you had to have that thing, right? Guilty? Hey, if you don't think you have a bunch of stuff, go home, open the drawers of your dresser or your chest of drawers, and look under those two top layers that you use. That stuff down underneath that you haven't worn in months and months and months. Look in your closet at that section that you're going to get back into one of these days. Now, it's been there 17 years, and one of these days I'm going to get back into it, but I'm going to keep it. Hey, we have more stuff, and God says, hey, why don't you let me guide you in that? Let me tell you what to do with what you have. Because if you'll make the commitment to me and rest in me, I will take care of your every need. You make the commitment, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. I preached a conference. There was a young man that took a church over in Fishersville, Virginia, in that Shenandoah Valley. And he called me. I'd preached a couple of conferences for his dad down in North Carolina, and he told me he took this church and said they have a missions program, but they have not had a conference in a while. Said, we need to have a conference and get this thing cranked up, and said, would you come preach? And so I went over there, and boy, God just blessed. I mean, faith promise was good, and got him back online. And a couple of months after the conference, June and I were going through that area, and I called him, and we stopped, and they had lunch with us. And he told me a story. He said, he's told me a number of stories, but he said there was a fella in that conference, and he was sitting there all week, and he said when the commitment time came, he said he knew what God was speaking to him about giving. And he said, and the only problem was that the next day, the Monday after, He had to go back to the dentist. He had been having some work done, and he had to go back to the dentist to have it finished, wrapped up, completed, and pay for it. And he knew what it was going to cost him when he went back. And he could not afford to pay that if he made that commitment and gave to missions. But he said he made a decision. I'm going to do what God wants. And he made the commitment and gave. Next day he went back to the dentist, and he got in the chair, and the dentist that he normally went to said, oh, he said, listen, I've got a fellow visiting with me, a dentist friend from another part of the country. And he said, I'd like him to look at what we're doing here. And that he came in and looked at it. He told the other dentist, said, you know, we've been working on this very thing. And he said, we found this procedure that we can do. And they did a different procedure which cost nothing because of the way they did it. It was so different. And he said that fella came and told him, he said, the money that was saved in that dental procedure was the same amount of my commitment that Sunday. God just wants to prove himself, doesn't he? Huh? He just wants to prove himself. If he can just get us where we have to look at him. And that's what he wants to do today. God wants your heart. Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. God has blessed this church in an amazing way. That list of missionaries that you folks support. That's missionaries that you support. You hold the ropes. You've partnered with them. And now he wants to do something fresh. Nothing new, just something fresh. And he's reaching down in the hearts of this congregation, and he's talking to you personally. And I would challenge you today, just listen. Just agree with him. Let him do something special in and through you. How many folks would say, preacher, would you just pray with me and pray for me that God would help me to just be where he wants me? That's all I want. I just want to be where he wants me. Would you pray with me and pray for me today? Would you slip your hand up all over the building? I want to do what God wants. I want to experience his wonderful presence in my life. God bless you. Father, I pray that you would bless now as the invitation's given and as decisions are made. I pray that you would move in our midst and draw us to the decisions that need to be made. Bless this time in a wonderful, wonderful way. Pray for these that have raised their hands. God, there are folks here that surely you've spoken to, and they're stepping out. They're stepping out. And this year is going to be a new year, wonderful year, a year when you do some things that even amaze the people of this church. I pray that you would bless today in Christ's name. Let's stand with heads bowed, eyes closed. As the pianist plays, maybe God's spoken to your heart in a way that you would just like to get alone with him and talk to him about it. Why don't you come at this time as God's spoken to your heart? While folks are doing that, let me ask you this. You can come. Just come right on. God spoke to your heart. Just come right on. Is there someone here that would say, "Preacher, I do not know Christ as my Savior. I've never been born again. I do not know that I would go to heaven if I died today. I'm not sure of that. But I would love to have that assurance. Would you pray for me? Would you let me pray for you and pray with you?" If that's you today and you would want me to pray with you and pray for you, would you slip your hand up? Nobody's going to embarrass you, come to you. Would you slip your hand up and let me pray with you and pray for you? Anyone at all, would you slip your hand up right now? God's spoken to your heart. You have time to come now. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Is there anyone that does not have a commitment card? Anyone need a commitment card? If you'll raise your hand, we'll get that to you. I want to take a look at it with you, and then Pastor Farley's going to come and receive the commitments this morning. But let's take a look at the card real quick and just go over this. It says, "In dependence upon God, I will endeavor to give above my regular tithes and offerings each week for 1 year for the worldwide missionary work of our church. The amount checked in the column to the right." Now, what that's saying is, this is above your tithes and offerings to the church. If you cannot scripturally give to Faith Promise if you don't tithe. You have to tithe first. That's the beginning. So maybe you do not tithe. Maybe you haven't begun tithing. I would encourage you to fill the card out with the matter of being going to tithe already settled. And then it says, has a verse there, John 4, 35 and 36. Now it says to the right there, "My faith promise for missions," and then adults, teenagers, 12 or under. So check one of those places, whichever applies to you. And then it says, "First time." If you are filling out a card for the first time, now maybe you gave to Faith Promise in another church, but this is your first time here. Or maybe you've never given to Faith Promise any place, this is your first time to give. If you're a first time giver here at Open Door, check that card. Now all that does is it helps them see the increase, and that's a good thing to know for pastor and pastors as they pray about this. And then to the right, it says, "Promised each week." This is your commitment. If your commitment corresponds with one of the figures given there, then just check that. If not, there's a spot up there that says "other." Write your commitment in that place where it says "other." Okay? I think that explains the card. Brother Farley, I'll let you come and you can receive those this time.
We're going to pray in just a moment, but I want to also point out to you, see the little perforation, the pseudo-perforation down the middle there, just fold it along that. and you can tear it. And so the one side, the left side, it says weekly amount promised. So when you mark your promised each week side here, what you're promising, just write it on your little receipt here so you can have this in your Bible and remember that's what you've agreed to commit to the Faith Promise program. But listen, do this prayerfully. This is an act of worship in and of itself. This requires faith. But if you say, I just don't know, I don't know what I can do, then you just do what you know that you can. Do what you can. You commit it to the Lord and allow yourself to grow into it, but do something. Every single one of us can do something with this and be part of this Faith Promise program. What I want also to make sure that you're aware of is that this weekly amount is a weekly amount, because a whole lot of people, they tithe biweekly, they tithe monthly, just depending on how pay comes in and that sort of thing. So if you are a monthly giver, for instance, you would have to take your monthly amount, divide by four, and that's your weekly amount. So if you could please not put what you give periodically, what you're actually writing, but what that translates weekly. Does that make sense? If you give one gift a year, it doesn't matter how you give it, you just divide by 52 and put the week. So we all know what the numbers mean. So I wanted to encourage you in that. Well, if you would pray with me, we'll pray and then we'll mark our cards. And then the ushers, actually I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward now, if you would. They're going to bring the baskets. We're going to pray and then we're going to take up the Faith Promise cards. And as the ushers get into position, let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for really, truly the privilege it is to partake in this biblical model, the very same thing that the early church was doing. They're doing at the direction of the Apostle Paul. Paul explained the theology around this, and it is honoring to you. We thank you, Lord, that you've taught us to give with our tithes. First to the church, and then we grow in our giving in this manner so that the gospel can go out to beyond our borders to other churches, to other places and other nations and lands. And I pray, Father, that everything that's committed would redound to your glory. We thank you for the list of the missionaries that we already support. I pray, Lord, that you would allow us to not only continue to give to our roster of missionaries throughout the world, but that we can expand that. You'll be able to do, Lord, through this church for the next year, what's committed today and the coming week. We just ask that you would truly, truly bless and guide and direct now, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please mark your card, and you can give it to the men. If you would, please don't fold your card, because that just adds so much. You can put it face down however you like. You don't have to put your name on it either. If you just, hey, Brother Doug, can you allow me to? You don't have to put your name on it. Just mark your card. And if you could turn that into the men, please. Amen. Thank you so much. If we caught you by surprise this morning and you weren't expecting, the faith promise to be taken up. We will actually be receiving the cards over the next week or two, so you can still pray about it if you're unsure, and you can commit that to prayer to the Lord. As we finish the service, I want to remind you the maps to the mission banquet tonight. We will not be holding service here, so if you come to church tonight, you will have a really nice devotional time alone because no one else will be here. But you're welcome. Every one of you is welcome to join us at the Claremont City Center at 5 o'clock p.m. We're going to be over there enjoying some international food. Pastor Farringer is preaching. Candy bars will be given out. And all that will be a lot of fun. I'm going to ask the missionaries, I'm going to excuse them now, to go out to their tables to allow many of you haven't had the opportunity to interact with some or the others. We'd encourage you not to rush off if you're not able to join us tonight, to go out and join them at their tables. Do grab some of the little tracts and paraphernalia and prayer cards that the missionaries have at their tables. They encourage you to take those. Also, one more detail, we have the receptacle out in the foyer, and we are taking up a love offering that's going to be divided amongst our visiting missionaries, and that will be given to them. So whatever you give will be given directly to them. Let's stand together. We're going to join our hearts and pray and be dismissed. Father, we love you, and we thank you for this good service, for the wonderful week, our missions week. I pray, Father, that we understand and can appreciate what the vision that you've given to us in Scripture for the gospel going out to the four corners of the world. I pray, Father, that you would bless the missions program of this church truly, truly, and that you would allow us to continue always to be a blessing to all of our missionaries. Bless those who have joined us this week. I pray that we can continue to be a blessing to them, even today and later today at the banquet. I ask, Lord, that you would truly, Father, go with us and lay this really wonderful burden of world missions. Let it be a burden on our hearts, and that we would always pray that the gospel would resound forth, not only in Macedonia, but all across the world. We love you for it, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.